About a week or so ago, I got an email from someone who said, George, it's been about 2 years since you had Dr. Robert Ghostwolf on as a guest. Let's get him back. And I sat and said, you know what? He's right. Robert Ghostwolf had not been on since June 5th of 2003. He was a good guest. He worked intimately for many years with elders, Hopi elders, Native Americans in North and South America. He was an expert on spiritual teaching. And then I just found out a few days ago that he died at the age of 58 years old. I don't know how Dr. Robert Ghostwolf died. His website does not say robertghostwolf.com. Remarkable man. Here's a brief snippet from that interview, June 5th, 2003. Robert, how'd you get interested in archaeology? Was it something that got you when you were young?
It got me when I was very young, but in my travels and journeys of finding out who I am, you know, being a mixed blood person, there's a lot of our history that is not told, that we don't know. It's tragedy that's a reality in that in the development of our great society that we have today, there were many people who changed their names that because of things that happened 200 years ago, you know, would not make any claims to their native heritage, things like this.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden you find these old pictures of grandma, and like you're looking at grandma and you're going, well, she sure looks like an Indian to me, you know. And in my journeys for who I was, I kept meeting incredible people and hearing all these incredible stories and finding all these incredible things. And one day I said, you know, maybe there's a way that you can actually make a living doing this, you know, and tell about this stuff. Because, like, you know, once you really get into it, George, it's just so... it's so captivating. I mean, because it's real.
Has it been challenging for you?
Challenging isn't the word. But yes, it's been extremely challenging.
Well, where did these giants end up? I mean, surely they're not walking around on this planet.
Where they go comes to where they are. And where they are, I think, goes back to finishing closure on the question that you asked, which is, you know, where are you finding these things? I'm finding these things right now. I mean, the evidence, the archaeological evidence, the anthropological evidence. I'm finding them from northern Colorado through the Four Corners area down into Mexico, and then other paths lead me to Bolivia and Peru. And so where do these people go? This is where we're... well, in the stories that they tell, they talk about these global superstorms.
All right.
That occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Fireballs from the sky. Fireballs that would come down and burn entire, I mean, amazing devastation.
Those could be meteorites.
Exactly. Or they might be some other thing that we don't know about yet. And when this comes back again, these changes will enact, and these things will happen again. And there is a precise, in my books, Days of Destiny, I wrote about the some of the calculations of this, and I correlated it to different things that happened in the world, in China, in Italy, where there are writings about things that happened, that would substantiate and affirm the reality of this, and that, yes, there are actual cycles. These cycles are about to reoccur. Getting into the Native American myth of it, you know, myth is my story, history is his story. So mythology is my story, and my story talks about things that happened. And it talks about people who were very right-brained. They were not left-brained. They were right-brained. And so they understood visions, and they understood metaphysical things. One of the things that has always been a curiosity with me is how now we put so much emphasis on remote vision, you know, and you can go and get a course and buy these tapes. Mm-hmm, in 6 weeks you can learn remote vision. Well, grandfather sat there and worked on this 30,000-year-old thing in a sweat lodge, and he had remote visions all the time, you know, to be real.
Well, they had the ability to do it. I mean, they were not tainted
they believed
by
they
things.
Could, and so they did.
Yep, exactly.
Because thought creates the nature of reality.
That's what it comes down to.
And you know, as we're moving into a time right now that is so essential, and it's like, you know, we're so filled with fear. And fear comes from not understanding. And we're moving into a time of severe, radical change. Severe, radical change.
Haven't we always been in this quandary? Since almost the beginning of time, I mean, you look at history, Robert, every civilization has had, in its own way, major change, catastrophes. Mount Vesuvius blows up.
Yeah, yes, it has. It has been a continuous story. In many of these artifacts, they show these great ships, these arcs, people moving, migrations, and they're showing them through times of dramatic climatic global earth changes. They're showing volcanoes in the background and things. So, yeah, this has always been going on. With civilizations, we go into a slightly different story, because the amazing thing about civilizations is that they reach peaks, right? They go really high. Everybody's enlightened. They deliver all this incredible information, and then they decline and disintegrate.
And they're wiped out.
And they're wiped out. And then somebody else picks up some other unforeseen, aboriginal group somewhere, whether it be the Huns or whoever, they rise, and they have this great situation. And those patterns have always been a fascination to me.
Are we in one of them now? A pattern?
Yes, we are in one of them now. For me to explain that, I would have to go to the most accurate interpretation of the understanding of that, which would be the Mayan interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
The Mayan are an incredible people who have not only kept their knowledge, but they have kept their heart. So many of us become angry, and the conquerors came and they did this, and you know, there's the great white wine about they're taking everything away from us and they're charging us taxes, and then there's the great red wine about, you know, they killed the buffalo and they slaughtered us. I'm not being funny. I'm just.
I understand.
But the point of the story is that the Mayan kept their heart, and the Mayan kept that. But going to the Mayan thing right now, they're so accurate, and the Mayan philosophy ties into my personal beliefs. My personal beliefs have to do with the fact that there is no doubt in the world. There is no doubt in everything that I've seen, from statues to writings, that the person known as the Nazarene, Jesus, Yeshua, Sananda, whichever you choose to name him, so you can identify, was here in the Americas. And they talk about this time as a time of the end throes of the serpent energy. Not serpentine. Serpent energy. The end throes, the violent upheavals of self-destruction.
When do you think his visit was? So was it after his situation in the Middle East?
According to the historical records, there was a man in Jerusalem that was crucified in 33 AD.
Mm-hmm.
According to the other records, if you go into the whole Masonic legend, if you go into the whole Magdalene thing, if you go into the fact that Jesus did, in fact, live beyond that, because after all, he conquered death. His final initiation was to conquer death and to resurrect. Why did he do that? To show people that we are forever, that we are everything that we were ever taught in these great teachings, that we are the I Am, and not the I Am as we think of it in this country, which tends to be I Am more or less in an ego way, more or less as a noun. I am in terms of more of an indigenous sense. An indigenous sense meaning a verb. I am is an energy. I am is a declaration of I am. I am is a declaration of I am an energy that is. I relate to the trees and the earth and the sun and the stars and the moon and the eagles and the hawks and the elk. And I am. I am life.
And so we lose another one. Sadly, Dr. Robert Ghostwolf, dead at the age of 58.